From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. U.S. student Donna Warmbier, held in captivity for more than a year by North Korea, is now in a U.S. hospital after being medically evacuated Tuesday. The family of University of Virginia student said he's in a coma. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson made public Warmbier's return.
The Department of State has secured the release of Otto Warmbier from North Korea. He is on his way en route home to be reunited with his family. We continue our discussions with the North Korean regime regarding the release of the three other American citizens that have been detained.
Reports said Warmbier fell ill from botulism and slipped into a coma after being given a sleeping pill following his March 2016 trial. He was sentenced to 15 years hard labor for trying to steal a propaganda banner. Korea Society Senior Director Stephen Orper said at some point there'll have to be an accounting.
So there will certainly be, beyond the human tragedy, repercussions in terms of demands for accountability, because this happened under North Korea's arcane and inhuman policy of detaining Americans, and there will be demands on Capitol Hill. I'm sure there will be demands in other parts of government, and certainly there will be demands among the general public as this is reported and as more details come out.
Warmbier's release came after rare high-level U.S.-North Korean contacts. A U.N. diplomat warned the Security Council a security vacuum exists in Central Africa following the withdrawal of Ugandan, South Sudanese, and U.S. troops tracking the rebel lord's resistance army.
I am concerned about the impact of this withdrawal, as it will create a security vacuum that may be exploited by LRA and other armed groups operating in the region.
Francois Lucidi Falls said other forces still in the region have limited capacity and no mandate to engage LRA. This is VOA News. U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions denounced as an appalling and detestable lie the idea that he would have colluded with Russia during last year's election. But he declined to answer questions by members of the Senate Intelligence Committee about conversations he had with President Donald Trump on the matter.
It's a longstanding policy of the Department of Justice not to comment on conversations that the Attorney General has had with the President of the United States for confidential reasons that really are founded in the co-equal branch powers in the Constitution of the United States.
Sessions, who served as an advisor to candidate Trump, said he never met with or had any conversation with any Russians or other foreign officials concerning interference in any U.S. campaign or election. Saudi Foreign Minister Adel Al-Jubeir said in Washington Tuesday there's no blockade of Qatar, despite joining three other countries and breaking diplomatic ties with Doha over its alleged links to terrorists.
The ports are open. The airports are open. What we have done is we have denied them use of our airspace, and this is our sovereign right. The limitation on the use of Saudi airspace is only limited to Qatari Airways or Qatari-owned aircraft, not anybody else. The seaports of Qatar are open. There is no blockade on them. Qatar can move goods in and out whenever they want. They just cannot use our territorial waters. So technically, this is not a blockade.
He met with Secretary of State Tillerson. Later, State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert said the conversation on ending the dispute with Qatar was hopeful.
Together, they talked about the need and the agreement to come together, to work together. And I would characterize the mood and the approach to that as being one that is hopeful, that believes that the worst is behind us.
She declined to say Qatar supports terrorists, but said all parties are working toward combating terrorism. Hundreds of refugees fell ill following a mass outbreak of food poisoning at a camp for displaced people near the embattled Iraqi city Mosul. Some 300 were hospitalized after breaking the Ramadan fast with an iftar meal. Colombian rebels have nearly completed the second phase of surrendering weapons to the UN as part of a peace deal to end more than half a century of conflict. By Wednesday, nearly two-thirds of the weapons of the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or FARC, will have been turned in. Former Panamanian President Ricardo Martinelli is in U.S. custody until a June 20 hearing at a federal court in Miami. He stands accused in his country of using public funds to spy illegally on political rivals. He denies any wrongdoing. U.S. central bank policymakers are meeting in Washington to review monetary policy. Analysts expect them to announce another key interest rate hike later Wednesday, despite lackluster job growth and low inflation. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.